afternoon.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Kind of, there we go.
Get your situation there.
I'm having trouble getting situated. I think I'm situated now.
Yeah, you're doing good.
So, my
name... You look fantastic, by the way.
No.
We've
never sat across the desk from each other.
Got a face for radio,
it's
right?
It's like an interrogation. If Phil starts crying, it's because I got the hot light.
Because
right
she
on
has
him.
Ways of making me talk.
Take your shoes off so I can get to your toes. Okay. That was a bad visual. That's why we're on radio.
Yeah.
So, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Now that I've divulged all that information.
Yeah.
And our sponsor, so who's our sponsor?
Our sponsor's
Bill?
Team Power.
Do you know the sponsor?
Yep, Team Powers. They're our local Kubota tractor dealer, and I'll tell you what, they are in the mood to make some deals. They got a lot of inventory up there, and go in there and see them and make yourself a great deal on a tractor. They're also running their spring service special now, so if you haven't got
a
flyer.
What are you guys, like Hallmark?
Yeah.
How'd you already get to spring?
Oh,
it's
well,
January.
Yeah, spring is sprung.
Oh,
I mean, it's coming.
The grass
when was
the
last time
it
rained? Yeah. So if you haven't got a flyer in the mail, they've got some flyers going out. Give them a call and ask them about their special. And
so tell them that you got a flyer in the mail.
Tell them you heard it on the radio.
Ooh,
yeah. Tell them that, and they'll
better
give
a
you
flyer.
A discount on your spring service.
So
if you want to get a hold of them, their phone number is 226-9226. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. And go see them up there in Shasta Lake. Or you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com. But, they're ready to go to work for you. They're not backed up, so if you bring something in, they can work on it right away. So that's Team Power.
Nice.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah, they do a fantastic job.
We love them. There's some guy named Bill up there.
Yeah.
I heard he's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's
he look,
a, he's
I heard
nice
he looks
guy.
Like you and he sounds like you.
Well, he does.
He's almost like
he's
you.
My doppelganger. Smart Alec.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Well, you know,
we're talking about it on the radio?
Uh-huh.
Did you try to read the writing on the wall?
Did you, Bill?
I did. I wrote it.
Voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Yes! Because we've been here before.
It right. is like deja vu all over again because, oddly enough,
yeah.
we played an encore of Dr. Lyle Rapacki last week. And, you know, we have sort of an odd relationship with him. All these odd things happen whenever he's involved. And we're going to, of course, blame him for that.
Yeah. Because we do get a lot of feedback when we have him on the air.
We do.
Yeah.
Good feedback, though, actually.
Yeah, it is. Well, you didn't have to say
well,
that,
except for, yeah. Oh, yeah, we could have alluded that it's
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, we could have said, you know, we got a little work to do.
But
there,
we have 2 hours left, and if he hangs up, we're screwed. Can we say screwed on the air? Oh, my gosh. But, yes, this will be like deja vu because we did replay for you Barbarians at the Gate last week. And we were going to have him on again with Jim Stockstill this week, which actually would have worked out great, except Jim is sick. So Jim's not going to be here. So Lyle will have to do – he'll have to be a double talker. He'll have to talk through the whole show.
He can
show.
Do it. He's a professional.
I know. I already talked to him this morning. We actually double talked each other this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So darn it, we should have muted him. I can hear him laughing in the background. Oh, my gosh. So, lest we belittle our perennial guest here, Dr. Lyle Rapacki is actually a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist, which is funny that he hangs out with us. He's probably evaluated us. We've probably been,
yeah.
We probably have like a big file or something. And since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. Except for now, he lives in Texas. So, now he's briefing some other people. And,
I think Arizona and Texas probably have the same kind of problems.
They're probably pals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friends in borderness. So he's going to kind of update us on that. And just all his information, actually, and the previous shows we've done with him are on the website, which is wethepeopleradio.us. And all those archives are on there for you free of charge. We actually cut the commercials out. We're big fans of capitalism, but on the replays, we allow you to skip the capitalism and go right to the meat of the deal. And today I have a good cartoon on there for you. I got from our guest for next week, Bruce Moran. And it's Donald Trump is standing there speaking with, looks like a rabbi, and it's a big giant wall. And Trump says, "You should hear the wailing going on over my wall." You know, I think there are going to be ultimately a lot of good jokes about that sort of thing. But Lyle's going to update us on all that because that's what he is. I don't know. Is it fair to say, Lyle, you're mired in that? How deeply mired are you?
Yeah, I'm deeply mired. Well, hey, thanks you guys for letting me come on.
We just like to introduce you. That's our favorite part.
Jim Stockstill said he was sick. But he texted me just minutes ago and said that he never got the check, your check for him to come on the show. And I go, they pay you?
That $1.85? I thought you were sending it.
I wasn't supposed to say anything about that.
Jim.
So I need to share that I'm feeling a scratchy throat coming on right now. And, and then
We're calling the bank right now. That check's no good.
And then Redding's tractors. I want to thank Bill for giving me a little guest ride on the little three-wheel tractor. That was really fun, and I really think that the pole that I ran into should not have been there. That's not my fault.
It wasn't right.
It was in a bad place, Bill, and it surprised me as much as the tractor.
Thank goodness you were wearing your seatbelt on that little rider. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and my little helmet, too.
That's right.
You know, it's too bad I can't get my brother to Photoshop the picture we have of you on the web, because, you know, I'm just thinking how much fun that would be. Darn it.
Oh, my gosh. You two are just too much.
For something.
And Bruce is on next week, Bruce Moran.
He sent me an email. That's provided he doesn't... ride the train between now and then. Okay, seriously, he says, here's his email to me this morning. He says, I was riding the Red Line. He lives in Chicago, right? He says, I was riding the Red Line CTA transit last night about 12:15 in the morning. Some guys had been moving through the CTA train cars, car to car, while the train was moving, openly selling drugs without any compunction. The drug dealers had spotters on the train, and their whole team worked in tandem. So much for the camera security on the train with the Chicago Police Department patrolling the station and police riding the moving train. It looked like cocaine, white substance in a very small plastic bag, money exchanging hands right in front of me along with the drugs. The drug dealer team consisted of older black men, six-footers, not teenagers or early mid-20s, with backpacks carrying drugs around 30 to 40 years old. So, you know, if you want to find out how it's done...
Yeah, ride the Red Line. You can get a little education
just
there.
Just go to Chicago and ride the Red Line. I'm like, well, that's got to make you feel safe.
It's just an extra service that the trains are doing. Sort of like
got a headache.
It's like a buffet.
Yeah, airline.
Aches, pains, headaches,
the airplane. They would bring the cart out, remember? The airplane, and they'd go up and down the aisle and see if you wanted a little drink or this or that or cookies or whatever.
Cigars, cigarettes, Tipperellos.
Absolutely.
Jewelry that lights up? Oh, yeah. No, that's fair.
Light
come on,
jewelry.
It's capitalism. Come on.
That's right. Got to give him an A for capitalism.
Good Lord.
That's unbelievable. Jeez.
I wonder how many listeners we just lost on that segment.
I wonder how many people aren't going to ride the train today. I mean...
or take a plane. Yeah, not going to do that either.
That too. Well, now that they know that the service is going to be so bad, they're not handing out Tipperellas anymore. It's over.
Well, it's interesting on the Bruce's comment about the drugs, and Bruce and I were talking just the other afternoon, about 2 days ago, about this border. And one of the side notes, because Nancy Pelosi and Schumer don't think there's a crisis at all on the border, there is a crisis, if you will, because a lot of the drugs have been impaired. They haven't been able to come over as freely. And so there's a shortage of certain drugs being dispersed now throughout the United States, and drug dealers are having a hard time. And their customers are having a hard time. I'm not making this up.
Oh,
and so, yeah.
That's so
and so
sad.
There is a little crisis because, yeah, the flow, the networks have been disrupted. And that's not good.
No. That's it's going to drive the price up, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
It's going to make it hard.
So that's one of the side notes of this whole thing.
Again, it hits the little guy. You know what I'm saying?
You know, they're going to take us off the air on this show. I just have a feeling.
They just got back on the air. Don't take us off the air yet.
I'll go lock the door.
They had a little problem up in...
Breach!
That was just Bill. Man. All right.
We have to take a break.
No, but we can't take the break yet because I forgot to tell Ashley what song to play because I was busy screwing around.
Oh, nice.
This is not the show about nothing then, is it?
No, it's different.
Try not to make it about nothing, but sometimes it's a little hard getting started, you know?
Oh, here we go. I got one for you. I labeled them all with little alphabet letters, so she's on the other side of a window, so we're using a little whiteboard. Yeah.
I feel like Frasier.
We don't really have... Yeah, you kind of look like Frasier, actually. Yeah. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little...
I do have a dog named Eddie.
Here's a little ditty from 1942. We'll be right back.
That's what Chuck and Nancy are going to be singing to the president here pretty quick.
It's really kind of funny. That's what I was thinking when I saw
That was good, Bill. That was really
Yeah, it's coming. Get ready.
I was like...
That was really good.
You know, this is an aptly titled song. And for anybody who's listening to this at a different time, since often we replay, we wear out the welcome mat with Dr. Rebecky. We'd love to play his replays.
What the heck does that mean?
There's a lot of unpleasantness in the world, and you know there should be more fun. And so whenever he's on, it's more fun. But this originally is January the 13th of 2018. So
2019
or 2019?
Yeah, let's not go back.
Oh, sorry. Too far. Ooh, time travel.
Ooh, good thing I'm here.
I didn't even like last year. Why am I such a bitter clinger? So anyway, just so people realize, we're in the middle of the shutdown over the wall and all that jazz. So if you hear this at a different time and you're like, Chuck and Nancy who? Yeah. That Chuck and Nancy.
Yeah.
who have
We couldn't be so fortunate as to forget their names.
You might be able to forget Chuck and Nancy at some point in the future, but you know, currently we're still laughing at the memes that have been created from their angry little faces at the press conference.
The pitchfork and the broom or whatever.
The pitchfork and the torch people.
Yeah.
God, then they had one where they switched. Have you seen the one yet where they switched their faces? They put Chuck's scowling face on Nancy's head and Nancy's scowling face on Chuck's face. It's actually kind of frightening, but
there's a picture out there with both Chuck and Nancy with Soros's face on them. And that's really freaky, but it speaks a lot of truth. But
yeah, it does.
I'll tell you what, that angry moment they had, I think, will be a meme gift giving. Extravaganza for quite a while.
That was such a huge tactical error.
Until it's actually spring.
Yeah.
Maybe you could put that on your flyer from work.
Oh, yeah, that makes a point.
Maybe not.
Hmm.
All right, so now that you can have whatever you want, what do you want to talk about, Lyle?
Well, you know, how about 5 minutes of seriousness and then go back to... I know, we
All
can
right,
do
we'll,
it.
Do we'll, it. I think we can do it.
Do it.
Bill, start the clock.
12:22:39.
Thank you. And we'll do 5 minutes for Redding's tractor. That way they get some benefit out of this show.
This is like Hell Week.
I know.
If you played sports, you know, you got to do the wind sprints and all that stuff.
Let's, if you don't mind, how about
we don't.
Can Trump, President Trump, declare a national emergency on the wall? Because that's been a big topic.
And there's talking heads on both sides of that, you know. And I just
right.
You're
a talking
confused.
Head right now.
Well, that's true.
From this talking head's perspective, and that's just my perspective, and I went all the way through eighth grade, I mean, so I have some perspective.
With the same perspective?
Well, I mean, it took me two summer schools, but I did it. I got through eighth grade. Well, that's because Mrs. Schwartz never liked me. I don't want to get into this right
now. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Thank you. Okay, I'm recovering. He has the authority to declare a national state of emergency. Here's what's really, and why can I say that? Since 1979, that was before both of you guys were born, but I remember it, the United States has been in a continuous state of emergency. I don't think most people know this, and this is one of the precepts, if you will, or predecessors that gives prima facie evidence and support for declaring a national state of emergency, because we've been under a national state of emergency continuously since 1979. Jimmy Carter declared that emergency to freeze Iranian funds, assets, if you will, that were seized during the U.S. Embassy in Tehran incident. And that national state of emergency has been renewed every year since 1979. Pause. Let that sink in.
I graduated from high school then. Think about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's 1979, ago. You guys, and then six presidents have gone ahead in various ways and declared their own emergencies on top of the 1979. 1996, Bill Clinton declared one after Cuba shot down two civilian airplanes right off of their coast. And then George Bush declared one on September 14th, 2001. Giving the president broad powers to mobilize the military after the attacks in New York. So we've had 28 national emergencies that have remained active since 1979.
Now, a national emergency specific to a particular cause?
Event or a cause, yes.
Okay.
And so to say that he doesn't have the authority is just more political posturing and theatrics. Mm-hmm. To say that this doesn't warrant one, again, that's more political posturing and theatrics, because what is literally happening on the border is not these poor little migrants coming up who want a better life, though there are some. But I'm not going to mess around with it and tell you something that's just not true. And Aaron and I talked about this earlier today. There are people coming in from 133 different countries. 133. How do I know this? Border Patrol, the day before President Trump was in Texas, and President Trump was in Texas on Tuesday. This is Sunday. He was here in Texas, down in McAllen, Texas, on Tuesday, studying the border, looking at the Rio Grande. The head of the Border Patrol in that area mentioned to him, we are in support of you and what you're doing because you will help us. Just the day before the president showed up, 41 countries, people from 41 countries were apprehended, not just Mexicans, not even just Hondurans, but from China, the Middle East, and in all points, Pakistan, Romania, I believe was one of them, Ecuador, Nicaragua. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so what we have is a sieve that not only are Mexicans coming across who want a better life and then maybe go back to Mexico, which is also a violation of our sovereignty, but that would be one simpler problem to at least address. But we have people undocumented, we don't know who they are, from 133 countries around the world just moving in and getting across this border. A lot of them, or a fair amount, I should say, are what's called SIAs. That's a law enforcement intelligence term. SIAs, meaning special interest aliens. Special interest aliens, SIAs, are migrants from countries where terrorism is a main export. And SIAs are working their way and have been working their way up through the border, our southern border, for years. I just wrote an article because, as you guys know, I'm very privileged to write articles and get them posted in several locations. I just wrote an article talking about how terrorists have come across the border. Well, how do we know this? Well, in George Bush 43's presidency in southern Arizona, we found the handbook of a do-it-yourself tactical nuclear weapon that was left behind or lost, who knows, out in the desert. And part of that handbook, this is not classified anymore, part of the handbook also talks about a program that ISIS and other Middle Eastern terrorist groups wanted to launch in the United States called the Hiroshima Plan. I'm not making this up. This was part of the book, part of the handbook, and it scared the bee gees out of everybody in Department of Homeland Security, the White House, National Security, and all that. It was a very detailed handbook, very detailed planning on how they were going to follow up what happened on 9/11 with a tactical nuclear weapon. That's a smaller grade where it's not like Hiroshima. They use that term, but it's not like your picture of a Hiroshima. It's a smaller tactical nuclear weapon that you can launch, and it will take out several blocks, if you will, but won't go 50 miles. I'm trying to give you a word picture for everybody to listen who's listening in. Well, picture releasing a tactical nuclear weapon on Wall Street. If it only goes a couple of few blocks, and New York City blocks are big, but only goes let's say a square mile, but it's located in such a critical juncture as the economic center of Wall Street, don't you think that would have tremendous effect, adverse effect on the United States? I do.
Oh, it would put huge sections of one of our biggest cities out of commission pretty much forever.
Absolutely. For a while. And so this handbook was found in the desert. It was photocopied, taken into custody, and then sent all the way up. And it's very alarming that this was way back in about 2003, to the end of 2002, 2003, beginning of 2003, the end of 2002. It was very alarming, very, very concerning that was already coming across then. It hasn't gotten much better. For this head of the Border Patrol in the McAllen, Rio Grande area of Texas to tell the president that just the day before his arrival, They arrested 45 people, 41 people, I'm sorry, from different countries, not counting those coming across from Mexico that are illegal, but 41 additional countries that never make the news.
And
that is concerning.
And that really blows their narrative of there's no crisis. We'll take a break here. And I want to get right back to this because there was...
So no more goofing off?
No. Let's stay focused for Lyle.
We'll be right back with Dr. Lyle Rebecki. This is not the show about nothing. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Ideals I think are right, and I can stand beside the idea to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our country.
Yeah, this is our country.
This is our country.
We need to make the our part like more bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has to be rules.
All right. So as not to derail, we're right back at it.
Okay.
What other creepy stuff did they find?
We've already talked about there's 28 national states of emergency still in effect. So Trump declaring one is not new. There's 28 of them since 1979. And this is something of course, the socialist Democrats don't want out, and this is something the media doesn't talk about, but there's 28 of them. They're still in effect, and they have been by six different presidents, both parties. Now, can he do this? Yes. Excuse me, guys. What's the checks and balances? Under the Congress Act, I'm sorry, under the Constitution, the Congress has the authority to overrule a declaration of emergency. It would require both chambers to overrule the president. So the idea would be today that the House of Representatives would quickly overrule it because it's led by socialist Democrats. The Senate, the idea would be that they would say no because it's still ruled by conservatives. Now, I hope we don't have to see that played out, but...
Well, because it's kind of scary, you know, when you think about it, you know, we wind up with the inmates running the asylum, and then we have a national emergency that's climate change, so everybody park your cars, we have a national, you know, we have a national emergency that's, you know, gender studies or whatever, all the public bathrooms are closed. I don't know, I mean... I could see where they could.
Well, where does it go?
Kind of when, go berserker
when
later.
The House says no to his emergency, and the Senate says yes.
Yeah, how does that work?
Can it be implemented at that point?
Yes. In fact, actually, the president can implement it right now, and then that would automatically, and he has 6 months that he can run a national state of emergency. Then the Congress gets involved to take a look at should that state of emergency continue on or should be remanded, at which point the Congress would, let's say, no, and then the Senate would say yes, then it stays in effect.
So I guess it gets down to how much wall can he build in 6 months. And, you know, something that
well, no, let me interrupt you because you're partially right. How much wall can he build in 6 months? But then when the House of Representatives gets involved and says, no, we don't think there should be a national state of emergency, so we're voting it down, but the Senate upholds it, then it still stays in effect. Both houses have to vote it down.
Okay, so somebody said, I heard on the news, which was probably my first mistake, that if he did declare it, that it could be stopped by the Ninth Circuit. Is that true?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn a couple of weeks ago.
Just going to ask.
And they can go ahead and try to get an injunction, but that would be that really gets into people who've gone all the way through high school and even college.
Well, they did the same thing with the travel ban, if you remember that,
right?
Because they stopped it.
I mean, if he's declaring a national state of emergency and spells out the emergency, he has the constitutional right as the chief executive and as president of the United States to protect and defend this United States. That is one of his very chief goals. And so if he can make the case, which is really easy to make, we've already talked a little bit about it, that the United States is under a form of invasion, then I believe he would prevail easily.
Now, was the travel ban, was that a national emergency?
Yes, I think so. And I don't think they did a good enough job. I don't think the White House did a good enough job getting the information out to the people, much less the courts.
Mm-hmm.
This is me, you know, armchair quarterbacking. As much as Mr. Trump is tweeting, and I think that's so effective because he bypasses all the liberal arm of the Democrat Party, meaning the media,
mm-hmm.
He has gotten information directly to the people, something no other president's ever done unless they speak to the nation from the Oval or at the State of the Union. But here he's able to tweet people, and he's very candid about what's going on, and that has been a big plus. But I don't think he's gone far enough to explain to the citizens exactly what he is learning. And I think the presentation the other night from the Oval Office was a positive step forward to share with the people. You know, folks, all politics aside and all this campaigning aside, here's the problem to the United States of America, or at least one of the problems, and it's a very real problem with people coming in who tend to harm us. They do not intend to come in and become acculturated here and live the American lifestyle. They want whatever they can take and remain loyal to their country of origin. That's not how immigration has ever worked in the United States. We never ask people to give up their love for Ireland or Scotland or wherever they came from. We never did. In fact,
the Irish just wouldn't do it. So,
yeah, well, they wouldn't anyway. But that's a rich culture they're bringing with them. However, they brought that culture, and they married, if you will, the American dream, the American culture, the American principles and values and laws, and they became American citizens.
Yes.
Who happened to be Scottish or Irish.
Right. But they agreed to abide by our rules. I mean, that's
correct.
The basics.
And that's not what's taking place here. And when you interview these people, they'll tell you that very boldly. I can't discuss this in great detail, and I apologize. I don't mean to be mysterious and weird about this.
Well, that's why we have you on.
I know. Well, I've been fortunate over the last couple of months to run air surveillance on these caravans. I have a professional former military air surveillance specialist who also works for does contract work for alphabet agencies, and he has offered to me to run air surveillance, and we've been doing that for the last couple of months. And when I mean air surveillance, we've done a lot of surveillance on these caravans. We were the ones. My reports were the ones that first found these caravans. We found that there was three of them and then even a fourth one, and the fourth one was teamed up with the third one and merged, and where they were staying, they had food trucks, they had porta-potties, all this information that started to come out. We were very, very blessed, very humbled to be among the first, if not the first, to report on that. And so I've been running air surveillance for a couple of months. Conversely, on the ground, I've been able to have some people embedded in these caravans. And what's happened is we've been able to get tremendous amount of information, which shows a full, totally different picture. Now, your guest next week, Bruce Moran, he knows this because we've been talking about this for a good couple months and exchanging intel, because some of our intel, his company, his group, and mine, have gone all the way up to the different branches of government. And so we've had to be able to validate everything we've said and document it to the nth degree. And we've done that, and that's why you're hearing words like invaders, caravans, things of that nature, because I was the one that first started using those in my reports. I say all that as a preface that one of the things we learned is that about 80% of these people coming in were 16 to 35 years of age. Bruce and a couple of other groups made it 16 to 40. I stuck with 35. They were military age. They were very hardened type males. They were not the family oriented type people. And they were extremely hostile by nature, psychologically, emotionally, and they created problems in their own caravans, much less what they intended to do when they came to America. Secondly, the families that everybody wants to talk about, and there are kids involved, and they are pawns, and it's a disgrace. It's a human catastrophe that's taking place. But a lot of these kids don't belong to these people. They were given to these people in the caravans to bring up here to get into America, because they knew that Americans are very soft-hearted, and we should be for kids. And yet their moms and dads are still back in wherever, Honduras, Nicaragua, wherever. The idea is that they're anchor babies. And once they get in and they're taken care of and they're on the rosters here, then others in the family can start coming in. By Mr. Trump learning all of these details and much, much more, he then put a block, if you will, up against the wall, against the border, before we could even build that wall. There are parts of the border that have walls, but I'm going to tell you, I've gone to the border many times, and both in Texas and Arizona, and there are miles. There's no border. There's a single strand, maybe a dual strand barbed wire. That's it. And so being able to come across the border is a joke. You just walk over.
That's not a problem. Let's stop right there.
What about all the, all the people playing pinochle and shuffleboard right on the other side of the border at the trailer parks and all that?
Yeah, there's definitely areas that you can and can't cross. I mean, Jim Acosta made that very clear the other day with his visit down to the border and showed us all that that wall was not even necessary. But let's go back to that right after the break, because one of the reports I heard was that these caravans, in some instances, are just a distraction for the
folks
that are still...
Feels like the fun killer. He's going to keep us on track. We'll be right back. Heard it from Phil Collins first.
Yeah.
All right, fun killer.
Okay.
Get us lined up.
Yeah, so we were talking about the caravans and so forth. I heard the other day that one of the tactics they're using now is a distraction, and maybe they've been doing this for a long time, but now the media is catching on. They're sending folks across under the eyes of immigration
It's like Red Rover.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
send five kids into one
and
spot.
And then they run over there and grab them, and then another group is
they run over and
half
hit
a mile
spot.
Away. They go over, and then they just keep going back and forth and back and forth until one of them makes it. Is that what's going on with these caravans? Because I heard there's another caravan on its way. Have you heard anything about that?
There is preliminary I'm trying to be careful here. There's preliminary information that appears to be vetted, at least initially, to suggest that another caravan of 15,000 is inbound. We are trying to locate that caravan. We have some ideas as the routes. And partly because we've been studying for the last couple of months the routes that these caravans have taken. And so initially, we're going to go back to those routes. Now, my pilot was shot down, literally. He was shot down over the border between Texas and Mexico. I'm not going to get into specifics. He was hospitalized and had surgeries. He is a former Army Ranger, a specialist in long-range patrols, surveillance, all of that through the military, came out, got into law enforcement, and did the same thing. He has quite a background, quite a history in formalized surveillance and intelligence gathering. Him being shot down really, as he and I joke, put a crimp in things, because he had to go get duct tape and cleaned out for the bullet wounds, and it laid him up for about 10 days. Then he went back and began flying. He got his plane fixed. He has about 7 planes in his company, and he got his plane fixed, and he's back in the air. And traveling with law enforcement officials from Border Patrol, Department of Justice, et cetera, et cetera. They went to Tijuana, which is right across from San Diego, where the bulk of the first caravan went. And they began to do recon over there, and they landed, and they went on ground to get interviews and a number of other materials. And he brought with him a couple of his other pilots because they also flew over, took photos, and did a number of things so we all would have the benefit of this, their information. They all picked up very, very serious and deadly, because one of the pilots died, from the contact with these people. They helped handcuff them. They helped sort them. And one of the stories that's not being told by anyone is that the diseases that are coming this way are horrific. I sent you all, and I believe Erin and I talked about this, and she posted it. It's not classified anymore. I sent you all a report. It's fairly specific that I said you could post, you could do what you want, and people could read it. It's a briefing that I gave with a colleague in a closed-door setting a couple of years ago in the Arizona legislature. And at that time, we talked about this very situation because there were already beginning to show up in multiple states and cities serious health problems, tuberculosis, scabies, skin diseases, bacterial infections that antibiotics were not working on. And medical community in America here was petrified at some of the other things that were coming across from illegals. We've not treated. We don't have any treatment plans for them. There was tuberculosis, various forms of tuberculosis that were non-resistant. I'm sorry, they were resistant to antibiotic treatments and other forms of protocol.
Very contagious, by the way.
Highly contagious, and we're not set up for that. The medical hospitals are just not set up for that. And it's not really fault finding. It's just we don't have those problems here in America. We've eradicated, and if something does pop up, it's manageable. Not under the conditions of these people coming in who have never ever seen doctors and live in areas where there is no such thing as health care. And they have developed some immunities themselves to these bugs because they've killed off their own people through these bugs, and those that have survived, and I'm being coarse on purpose, because I can document all this, the people that survive are the ones that have built up some immunities, and now they come up this way. We're sitting ducks up here because we have no immunities for this stuff, much less treatment.
And if they come across with those diseases and we pick them up, we're more or less obligated to treat them at that point, aren't we?
Well, Bill, you're right, because not only are we obligated to treat them, but now there's a cost that is just immeasurable. We've got people in hospitals already, these kids, that are sicker than sick, and we're taking care of them. But that doesn't make the media either. Pelosi, Schumer, and the rest of these socialists, they don't talk about that. But we are treating them. America is taking care of these kids, doing the best they can, and then intends to send them back, as I understand. But I'm not a policymaker, so that's outside my realm. But from what I understand, we intend to send them back instead of having them as anchor babies. But the fact is we're spending millions of dollars that are not being reported, and there's multiple millions, I'm being redundant there because millions is plural, that we still would have to lay out if these people work their way into America here. So what I've argued with very high ups is you need to seal this border. You can work out this wall problem and all this other stuff politically. That's fine. I'm not a policy monk. We've got a national security problem, not only with terrorists and cartel people coming in, but we've got a medical emergency on the border that no one wants to talk about, because once you get into it and really start to look at it, it will freak you out. The report I sent you all, and if you don't have it, I'll send it. Again, it's not classified. It was a couple of years ago.
Send it to me and I'll post it.
Okay, and your readers can read it on their own. I mean, what I did is I sent it back out, Erin, to a number of platforms and said, you know, to heck with it. You all need to read this stuff. And since then, I've noticed several platforms have now begun to carry, not my report, but variations of it, and they've done some additional investigations. And so now, and just in the last week, maybe 10 days, you'll notice a little bit more communication going out publicly about the medical condition on the border. And that's something that hasn't been put out for 2 months since all of this began.
Lyle, on the health issues, is this something that's unique to the Southern Crossing, or in other words, did they have this issue when they let all the folks into Germany and the Syrian refugees? I mean, was there a big health issue with them like there is with what's happening on our southern border?
Wow. That is a great, great question. Thanks for bringing it up, Bill.
Because
simultaneously with what's happening on the southern border to the United States, it's happening in Europe. Caravans were released about the same time, and we reported on this. Multiple thousands were making their, Muslim countries were working their way into all the European countries simultaneously to what was happening on our southern border. None of that's been reported. It's all been focused on America and how cruel we are, how mean we are, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas over in Europe, they're just devastated by what has come in and still coming in. That is why you're beginning to see, again, conventional media is not reporting this, why you're beginning to see and hear about the revolts in France by the citizenry, the Yellow Jackets. The citizens of France have finally had it. What started it was Macron was the president of France was going to raise taxes, a gas tax. It was nominal, 5 cents, 10 cents, whatever. But the whole idea was to raise taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes on top of tax. That's what socialists do.
Sounds like California.
Pretty much same mind control there. It's all communist, all socialist, Marxist. And that's what they do. They raise taxes on everybody till no one has anything except the elite. And so he was going to do this through a gas tax. Well, it was all a sham. What he was doing was raising funds through a gas tax to help pay for the social benefits to all the migrants that came in that they did not have the funds to pay for. In other words, food tickets, housing, medical, all of the social amenities that the country of France could not afford. And so let's go back and tax the citizenry and then take those funds and send it to these poor migrants that have now come into our country. Well, the citizens of France learned this firsthand, and they began to revolt. And that revolt's still taking place. And the same thing is happening now in Sweden and other countries, where the citizens, just the average guy on the street has said, enough. Look at how my city, my neighborhood, has completely changed into an Islamic something that I don't even recognize. And they have no interest in becoming French citizens or American citizens or German. They intend to subdue France, Germany, England, America, wherever. To take a look at Detroit, Michigan, and Upper Michigan. You would not recognize it. You would not recognize it.
I have a first-hand story of illegal here, but we got to go. We got a little 5-minute news break. We'll be back with Dr. Lyle Rebecca. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You're on KCNR 1460 AM.
Oh, the games people play now. Every night and every day now. Never meaning what they say now. Never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da da
da da da da da. I don't have a black limousine.
That might be the Chuck and Nancy song.
Yeah,
I think it's a hearse actually.
Oh, could be.
Yeah. It's that other black limousine.
Yeah. Not the good one.
And I know we're going to probably cut out the news on the archive, but during the news they were saying they had wolves on the border that have returned from extinction.
Ah, Trump did it.
I know. Yeah. I'm sure he's going to be blamed
sealing
for that.
Up the border. Yep.
That's the border wall right there. Release wolves. We've always joked about that, but apparently there's something to it.
Yeah.
God's a funny man. He decided to help us out and bring back some wolves from extinction and put them along the border. What are you giving me the hurry-up sign? Bill's giving me the hurry-up sign. I just want to, you know.
I want to get back to business.
Look, you are the fun killer of fun killers today.
He's trying to keep us on track here.
Good Lord. It's really hard. It's really hard. We have a puppy in our house temporarily. We're taking care of my mom's puppy.
Yeah,
and I'm finding myself kind of, you know, being like puppy
nice.
A little bit.
We don't care about that. Okay, great. My name is Bill Cunniff. Our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local Kubota tractor dealer. And they are at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, right south of Phil's Propeller. So
go up and see them. If you need a tractor worked on, check out their spring special in their service department. Get some work done on your tractor. If you need it done, now's the time to do it.
And your mower.
And your mowers, yeah.
And your mower.
Yeah,
not just tractor.
Yeah, tractors, mowers, any farm equipment, they can work on it. And their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at redingtractors.com. And
that's where we got the picture of the Kubota tractor where Ashley, our engineer, photoshopped Lyle onto it.
It wasn't photoshopped. I remember him going to the store and riding
that
tractor.
Real.
Yeah,
it just looks photoshopped.
Yeah, it just
looks. She just put the hat on.
Yeah.
Now, that was before the pole got in the way.
Right? That's right.
Okay.
That's when you had a smile on your face.
This was before
yeah.
you wrecked the tractor. I'll be adding that.
Wrecked the tractor. That's
harsh. Although
it wasn't wrecked. So a tow truck came.
It implies insurance and all that.
Usually when you crash into something like that, you don't jump in your car and run away. But, we didn't care. It was all right.
Well, I thought you wanted to go to the Dairy Queen, so I took off.
I'm just glad there wasn't any whiplash involved. So there we are.
So much fun. So, yeah, let's see, there was something else. Oh, I know. And Zimbabwe was in the little news break here, the 5-minute news break. Interestingly enough, I had a conversation with a woman from Zimbabwe who came here to claim asylum. Oddly enough, she's angry that our country has not found her a job and a place to live. And now they want to deport her 3 years later. But she's not going to leave until we compensate her for lost wages. For the time that she's been here, because we are not following the UN. We're bound by all this UN regulation. It's like, well, there's US and then there's UN. And
well, I'm glad you brought that little joke up, but it's not a joke.
It's kind of real,
actually.
That's exactly
what's happening. The UN has passed this policy dictum that all nations have to take in all people, and no longer will there be sovereignties. It's part of the growing movement that the socialists, you're going to hear a lot more of, the social democrats are pushing. That's why they don't want borders, they don't want boundaries, they don't want the constitution. We're to go into a new world order, a whole community of nations living together side by side, kumbaya.
And somehow people who come here are feel like we owe them everything.
Correct.
Which is just crazy.
Well, and that's what's happening with these caravan people, that's what's happening with these caravans, when we uncovered the, about 80% of them were males, 16 to 35, and then Bruce, when you have him on, he'll say, I think his group was 16 to 40, something like that, but they're all males, and they did have women and children, they did, but they would put them up front for all the photo ops every time there was going to be one. And most of those were staged, by the way. But that way, the hearts, or all the liberal hearts were breaking, because look at all these poor little kids and all these women and oh my gosh. And yet, when you really break down the pictures, and there's enough of them now out on different sources, you can just check it on yourself. They all have clean clothes, good tennis shoes, nice backpacks, et cetera.
Smartphones.
Where are they getting all this? Smartphones.
I was going to ask you that, like your guy in the caravan. What's he saying about guy or guys or gal or gals, whoever's in the caravan? How is this being funded? Food trucks, porta potties, all that stuff? Somebody's paying for it.
I can't get into the specifics because it's restricted, but what I can tell you is that we uncovered, and law enforcement has this information and it's been verified, Hollywood types have funded these caravans, and of course the Soros group has has covered a lot of it, but so have several other places. And there's also a nation that's been involved, not Mexico, but a nation that's involved that also has given tremendous funds to help support all this. And what has happened is the logistics are just immaculate. They had the tractor trailers and the trains that have been reported moving people, buses moving people. One day my pilot saw 12 buses, figure 50 to 60 people per bus. It's only 300, 350, whatever. But there was a couple of caravans of buses, and what they would do is they'd move them from one sector up to the next holding space. And we uncovered the holding spaces, which I can't discuss. And in those holding spaces, they had tents set up, food, porta potties, et cetera, et cetera. They had clothes piles, and they would come in and pick clothes, shoes, whatever, tennis shoes. So all of this is very orchestrated. This is not spur of the moment.
No, and I think it's all designed to get them to the border, apply pressure, and see how many we can get across.
That's absolutely correct. But I'm going to, Bruce, I'm going to go one step further and agree with what you just said, but I want to add a postscript, and that is, it's to embarrass Mr. Trump. It's to put so much pressure on President Trump that all he is doing is defending himself instead of legislating, if you will, or being an executive. The bitterness, I don't know the right adjectives to use here, but the bitterness of him taking the election, as they will say, from Hillary is uncontrollable, still is. And what you're going to see over the next 2 years is a form of a civil war, political civil war, in that the subpoenas are going to start flying immensely about on everyone and anyone connected to Trump, so they can neuter him and keep him from doing what he intends to do. I just got a report during the five-minute break there, and again, I can only say this, but I'm going to do it for you guys because you're so kind to me all the time. Even though you don't
didn't send see
me
that Photoshop
check.
Picture yet, did you?
Well, you Photoshop and then you don't send me a check, but Stock still gets a check. He comes on one time. One time. I've been on what?
I told her that was a mistake.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, okay, it was $1.85, but still, it was a check. I mean, I didn't get anything. In fact, Aaron keeps sending me these little bills saying I have to pay for airtime. I don't know what that's all about, but anyway.
I sent you a telegram. Let's be truthful here.
That's right, you did. You sent me a telegram. Stop. I just got this report from my pilot who just came back, just landed. He's now identified, and he had law enforcement people with him. 8,000 in a caravan.
Oops.
On
new
their
one?
Way inbound. This is a new caravan, and they've identified, actually, the report is 8,000 plus.
Wow.
I apologize. I really mean this. I kid around a lot and play, but I apologize for 30 seconds here. I don't mean to be weird or mysterious. I can't tell you anymore, and I can't tell you the locations and all that, but he just identified, because we've been looking for this for about a week or so since we knew there was 15,000, which we had unconfirmed. Now he has located 8,000, and I've got all the details, so after the show I will do a report and send it up to various places, which is very exciting, because now we have specifics. We have longitude and latitude. We have the locations, and we have photograph of 8,000 in the next caravan. That still means we're missing maybe 7,000, unless there was a mistake made, and it wasn't ever 15,000. I don't know yet. I haven't talked with him, but we'll nail that down. But there's another 8,000 inbound, and we have that confirmed, and you guys are the first to hear it.
Right. So my guess is they're south going north.
Yeah, so what's the deal with Mexico? They apparently made an agreement.
I didn't hear that. Oh. No, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Aaron, what did you say? They're what? South going north?
Yeah, they're in the south going north.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. I saw it.
So there was a report last week that Mexico had sent some folks into, I think, Nicaragua, one of those countries down there, to help organize these folks that are coming through. They were going to let them pass through Mexico, but they had to be orderly. And I thought that Mexico had made an agreement with the United States to keep these people from assembling on the border, and now it looks like they're helping them.
The brand new Mexican president has become a real supporter of President Trump, and believes in a great economic relationship with America, unlike the former president, who was out and out Marxist. And so the new president of Mexico has listened to the mayors and the governors of several border towns, especially the governor of the Tijuana region. I don't know the actual name of the region, but the mayor of Tijuana. And they have met with him and said, this is a catastrophe, health and otherwise. They have destroyed Tijuana, all these people, and the citizens of Tijuana want them out and are working to get them out.
Yeah, because they've been they've been interviewing him on the news. He's been pretty
clear.
Well,
Tijuana was never a thriving economic hub to start with.
No, and then to have this influx.
They're getting decimated.
We've got to take a really swift break. Now, I have to be the fun killer. Look what Bill has done.
Great. I'll talk to her on the break.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. And it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure good, you were walking real proud, and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
Okie dokie.
And it did happen again.
I know.
Yeah.
It keeps happening over and over and over again.
Over and over.
Lyle, what do you think he's... Hey, this is one of those questions that probably can't be answered, but honestly, how do we get around this whole thing that it's not a crisis and that none of these things are happening? I mean, is that just give up on it and move forward?
No. I think... and this, I don't, this is going to sound sophomoric, but I think the president needs to come back out and besides twittering, I think he needs to really not rally the troops, not rally the citizenry, but I think he needs to lay out exactly how bad it is and what's taking place here. Bypassing all of the reports, bypassing the extension of the Democrat Party, which is the media. I think he needs to do more than just going on Sean Hannity. I'm not trashing Sean Hannity, but go on Fox. A lot of people don't watch Fox. I think he needs to get
right
out and really share what's taking place. I think once Americans who already have a good idea because they're living with it, take a look at the Gold Star moms, look at the Gold Star families that have lost people.
Look at
just this past
week. Yeah,
the angel moms. I'm sorry.
Had their family members killed by illegal aliens.
Absolutely. Yeah, and illegal aliens that have been wanted, illegal aliens that have been arrested 2 and 3 times and were supposed to be out of the country, they're here.
Well, and for anybody who is kind of thinking that we're just, you know, chatting on about nothing, which, you know, okay, sometimes we do just for fun, but that's a real thing. If you just Google the Remembrance Project, Maria Espinoza has done an amazing job chronicling all of this information about American citizens who have been murdered by illegal aliens. So
yes,
just go look up the Remembrance Project. It's all there. So
yes,
it is real. It is happening. And it isn't just a one-off, you know, a policeman in a town in California. This happens a lot.
It's difficult for Americans to come to terms when they look out their window, even if we're speaking right now, if they're listening to us and they look out their window and it's a beautiful day or maybe a nice rainy day or whatever. Their countryside, their area, their viewing pattern is really pretty. It's calm. It's nice. It's familiar. There does not appear to be any threat.
It's not like Bruce on the train with drug dealers roving through the cars. I mean, that's
right. That's right.
That's what people want to see, though. They think it's not a problem if they're not watching these, you know, if this isn't in their town.
If it's not in their town or if they're not, unfortunately, directly impacted somehow, then it's not a dire emergency, as everybody's talking about. Granted, you go to those communities where they have lots of history, they can tell you how bad it is and how real it is. But when you go to certain parts of the nation, that's still idyllic, that's still very home safe and appears pretty and all of that, it's really difficult for them to understand what's taking place on the border. I was speaking to a group on land. I was speaking in another part of the country, and I had a PowerPoint with me, and I showed them, this was a couple years ago, I showed them our border. I showed them the 65-mile portion of the border in Yuma. That's very solid and very strong, very sufficient, and has cut illegal crossings, I think, by 92-95%. Then I showed them other parts of Arizona where there is no border. There's a barbed wire one string. And sometimes that's even been snipped and it's just kind of curled up. And people just walk over it. I showed them ranches in Texas where there's a wall, but the ranchers have put ladders over their walls because the illegals coming over have broken their walls, have torn them down. There's so many, 100 a day coming over that day in and day out, they break the walls of these ranches, and the ranches are spending gobs of money to repair their walls on their property so cattle and other things don't get out. So they've put in ladders, and there's pictures. So here, come over here, climb the ladder, come over the wall. I mean, it's a lot easier than tearing down my wall. That's how bad it is.
That is pretty bad.
There's such an invasion that's a steady stream. Well, now you've got thousands. I just told you that we have a confirmed report of 8,000 plus. As soon as I'm off the radio, I will send a report to those that need to hear this or see it, read it. So we now have identified 8,000 in a brand new caravan. We're still looking for 7,000 more, and maybe that number's been boosted somehow. It's not a legitimate number. Maybe the 8,000 is the total. But that's 8,000 more.
Good grief.
We already have a backlog along the border of these people because Mr. Trump has put a stop to this. And yes, one or two get through because the border is a sieve. But you bring in another caravan of 8,000? I haven't read the report yet from air surveillance. I don't know. We got kids, males. I don't know the breakdown, but 8,000 more.
Well, people think we should just reroute more immigration personnel and judges and things to the border so we can adjudicate all these people in.
That's part of his discussion that the president's discussing, a state of emergency, is to not just do the wall, but to hire border agents to come up with additional means besides a border, be it drones or other forms of technology that help seal the border, and then also the immigration judges so they can speed up this process. I think he wants to hire anywhere from 44 to 100 new judges, and that would just help with some of the backlog. But that's still a drop in the bucket. The president is attempting to be humanitarian, but at the same time bring order to our border, which no president has done since Eisenhower. Truman shut the border, and Eisenhower did. You go back and look, your readers, your listeners can go back and study that. They declared a border wall. They shut it down. Eisenhower sent the military along the border. So we've done this before. But since then, nothing. Ronald Reagan wanted to deal with border security, and he started to do so, and both Ted Kennedy and John McCain jointly came together, put a bill together in 1986, and sold it to the president and said, look, if you'll sign this bill, we'll go ahead and grant you your thing. They lied. He signed it hesitantly. They got those that were already here in the country illegally on a fast track to becoming non-illegal, but never did anything to secure the border. So they misled the president, and here we are all these years later still fighting that battle. So Mr. Trump has come into office, and he's made this a plank of his presidency, and I don't think he's going to deviate from it. I don't think the Democrats and even liberal Republicans know how to deal with someone like him, because he doesn't play by the rules. He's not a politician.
I always kind of laugh. It's like they've decided to play chicken with Evel Knievel. It's like, oh, wait, but that's the guy who never blinks.
Yeah, that's right, and that's the guy who kind of invented chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm not sure that's going to work out for them long term. To wait this out.
I pray not.
And it is unfortunate. We've got federal workers caught in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
And
no one's going to win over this. I mean, the longer it goes on, everybody's going to lose. But
it has been, I mean, anybody who's ever, you know, is familiar with the Peanuts cartoon, it's always been Lucy with the football. You know, Charlie Brown always falls for it, and they yank the football, and he lands up on his back. And this immigration issue couldn't be more, you know, aptly pictured than that cartoon.
Well, it's finally at a point where it looks like it's going to have to be addressed.
Charlie Brown's like, I'm not kicking the football.
Yeah,
I don't trust
you. And I think he will get it addressed. One way or the other, I think it's going to happen.
Well, we're kind of hoping that that is sooner rather than later. We've got to take a really quick break because we were tardy on the last one. Tardiness is never good. We'll be right back.
Could it be a sin? By the immigration man, he said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in, let me in. Immigration man, can I cross the line and break? I can stay another day. Let me in, immigration man, I won't tow your line today.
Well, I have been, but I'm not.
That was in the olden days.
Yeah, I'm not going back.
Hey, share with Lyle the story of our medical professional who remained nameless when she was in Mexico here, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2-3 weeks ago. She was on her way back from Mexico driving in a car, which I'm not sure how that happened. But her traffic got all backed up, and by the time she got up to where the incident was, there was a headless corpse in the road that they were taking pictures of and trying to get straightened out. So, you know, it's a great place to vacation. Take your kids.
Tons of super things going on there.
Yeah. And you know, unfortunately, you know, we're hearing a lot about this now, but this has been a problem for a long, long time. We had a sheriff's deputy here in Shasta County. We're a long way from Mexico. But we had a sheriff's deputy here in Shasta County many years ago that was killed by illegals while he was transporting them. So this isn't something that is now just, you know, on the radar. It's been a problem for a long time, and that's why I think people are so adamant that it's got to be handled. It's got to be taken care of. Enough's enough. I don't know. You might see the yellow jackets come out in this country if something isn't done.
Well, you can't keep, I mean, it's great that we have all these different, we can do immigration reform and we can work on the paperwork and how that gets done and who gets to stay and what we do with all. But honestly, if we don't seal the border, it really doesn't matter. We're never going to be done. People just keep pouring in.
There's a picture of Mr. Trump sitting down in his chair, kind of leaning forward. I'm going to write an article sometime here in the next few days about this picture. And what it says is he's sitting down, he's in his suit, and he's pointing straight forward. And it says, they're not really after me, they're after you. I'm just in their way. And that is a profound picture and statement. That's in large measure what's taking place. I believe, and I've written on this, and it's been posted, and I'll be glad to send it over, but it's a couple of years old now. I believe the Lord allowed Mr. Trump to come into office at this time, because if not, already 2 years into this new presidency, we would probably not be on the air, and there would be just tremendous socialization sweeping this country, and for all practical purposes, the Constitution that our forefathers gave us would be liquefied.
Oh, I agree 100%. If he yeah. wasn't elected, if the alternate option got in power, you would be seeing a totally different landscape right now.
There'd be, I believe so, Bill. I think people would be in jail. Conservatives would be in jail or some form of prison. I'm not a conspiracy buff, but I think we need to start talking turkey with people. I think the American people really need to stop just looking out their window, because it's a beautiful day and it's a beautiful view, and believing everything's all right. It's not all right. We're in some real trouble, and no. there are forces at work and are growing to collapse the United States of America.
Our
Constitution, and collapse what we've known as an exceptional nation. The idea is to collapse our sovereignty, therefore get rid of the borders, no longer have the constitutional form of government we enjoy, and to collapse us into a new world order. And they are working diligently to move in that direction. And Mr. Trump came into office. It has still stunned them. They still cannot even bring themselves to believe it's happened. And they are committed to doing everything they can to remove him. And I think this picture that I hope to put on the top of an article I'm going to write really says probably more than the article I'll write, because they are after us. And your listeners can say that's, you know, funny talk or goofy talk or conspiratorial. I really don't care, because the facts are mounting up by the day, not opinions, facts. And unless the American public, like you said, Bill, rises up and starts putting on yellow vests, it may become too little too late. Over in France, Germany, Sweden, what was the other country? I just read something. What the yellow vests are doing is they're now going ahead and looking at collapsing banks. The economic situation in these countries are already destroyed, and so they're looking at collapsing the banks. I don't know how they're going to do that, but what they're doing is saying, we have nothing to lose. We are losing and have lost our country, and they intend to imprison us, and that is something that Macron said the other day. He was going to come out and imprison the yellow vest people. Well, there's a little bit of a problem to that, because a lot of the law enforcement people have joined the yellow vests.
Oops.
The military has not, but the law enforcement people have. And slowly but steadily, what they're seeing in France and what's playing out in other European countries is the citizenry of those countries is stepping up and saying, enough. We've had enough. We've already lost our countries in a lot of ways, and you all will not be satisfied until it's completely lost and we're collapsed into the new world order. And that was made very clear with Merkel and Macron and the others who had been speaking to Trump. And that was the plan here. And Hillary was to fill it, to finish it off. And Trump's gotten in, and not only has he begun to put a roadblock up here in America, but he has breathed fresh air into even the new president of Mexico and other countries across the world, where now we have some leaders, not very many, we have some leaders both in political office and also as citizens stepping up saying, we are going to go down with the ship. If our country is going to go down, we'll go down with it. And if you think that is wacko talk or radical talk, then you really haven't read much about what our founders went through and our early citizens, because that's exactly what took place here in America when the King of England said, no, you will not put on yellow vests or anything like that. You will succumb to my orders and my dictates, and you will do it gladly. And about one-third of the American colonists said, we've had enough.
It was a very small.
And that's all it took.
It's a very small percentage of people.
But he's come in and
really kind of reversed a lot of their progress over the past few years. And I think that's why they hate him. And now you're seeing the left doubling down. And that's why we have a shutdown. The other day, I don't know if you heard this, but the mayor of New York came out and said that if you're a landlord in New York and you're found to be taking advantage of your tenants, we're going to take your buildings away. That is scary stuff.
It's like, really?
That's right out of communist handbook right there.
That's right out of Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, we're going to take your buildings away. Really? Who's going to determine if somebody
determines a good landlord?
Yeah, exactly. And who gets the property?
That's a good point, Aaron, you made about Atlas Shrugged. That movie is, or I don't know, it's on Netflix or it's available. I would suggest to your listeners, go get it. Pull it up.
I would actually like to. It's probably because I used to be an English teacher a long time ago. I would like to force every American citizen who actually gives a rip about the country.
I was an English student.
What happened to your accent?
Atlas Shrugged. I would put that on your bulletin board and say, look, listeners, you really want to get serious about this?
You know, honestly, if you get some of the crud that's coming across the border, I hear you're going to be sick for a few weeks. So bust on to I wouldn't get the book in paperback because it's so big.
Oh, God, it's huge.
It's really hard to hold it. I mean, literally, it's difficult to hold the book open to read for any length of time. But, you know, like Associated Book Exchange or one of those, you can find the old library book copies that are terrific. But get a copy of that because, honestly, if you want to see what happens when they take this to its extreme, like right now in California, we've banned plastic straws. I think it was based on the hysteria of a 9-year-old, what I keep hearing. Some kid thought that was going to be a crisis, so he brought that. And with term limits, we just keep getting dumber and dumber politicians here in California. So, you know, those of you who think term limits are going to save you, look at the California legislature, because now they want to ban paper receipts. They actually had a guy at the bill, okay, we're going to call it the bill unveiling. I just feel like we're looking at the clips from the movie Idiocracy. But at the little bill unveiling, the guy was literally wearing a giant bill around his. He had his head like sticking through it, and the bill was draped down onto the floor. And he's like, "Here I am. This is a receipt. This is what's polluting the world." I'm thinking, "You've got to be kidding me!"
Oh yeah,
in California, that's like the biggest thing they're going to tackle right now.
Oregon's now got a bill they're trying to get passed where you're not going to be able to buy more than 20 rounds of ammunition per month for you gun owners. So it's stuff like that that I
you
think
just start
is
looking at all this stuff, and it's
people
like,
are going to go sideways and just say enough's enough. I mean, it's
well in New Jersey, they passed legislation that all gun owners had to begin turning in their automatic weapons, and this was several months ago, and that it would be enforced. To date, not one citizen has turned in a gun, and law enforcement will verify that, not one. So, you know, all this talk is going on, but I think there will come a point where it will be forced upon Americans to decide, will you stand, even at the expense of possibly losing everything, to help save this nation, or will you just go along? And if you think that's just too harsh, that's what our early countrymen had to face in the colonial days. Will you stand against the king and against England, or will you just go along? And only one third of the American colonists stood and said, no, enough. We're not going to live under the thumb any longer. So it's a remnant, and I think on our last show, Jim and I talked about that. It's a remnant, small numbers that really are going to either rise up and get things done, or we're going to lose this nation.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I think it's really coming to that point, much like in France, where people are going to rise up.
I mean, when you start saying that putting a border wall is immoral, we've gone to, you know, full crazy. And, I mean, Nancy's pretty much full crazy on any given day anyway. But, honestly, when you start calling border walls immoral, especially ones you've voted for in the past, wake up. All right, we're going to be right back with you. Talking to Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online.
Yeah, my blood pressure's going up.
I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican, whoa, radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican, whoa, radio.
Armies of the Lord, picked up and dusted off their swords. Vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more. What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed? If we prayed for those raised up to lead the way, then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children see light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people?
Ripping on Oprah there.
I know, a little shot at Oprah. But, you know, honestly, by way of solution, since we're running out of time here, that's something everyone can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, the church was heavily involved in a Revolutionary War. I mean, they were the leaders.
You guys are absolutely right. That's a fantastic song. I really appreciate that. If you go back and think, or if listeners think that American churches were not actively engaged in the Revolutionary War, they're sadly mistaken. The Black Robe Regiment were those pastors in the colonies that under their black pulpit robes wore the colonial military garb. And on every occasion when they took it off, they had underneath their black robe the Continental Army uniform, and they went and joined up with George Washington. That's not opinion, that's fact, it's great American history, it's something to read and study, because unless the churches begin to take their rightful place to support and defend the Judeo-Christian foundation by which this nation was formed and conceived, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose this nation.
No. And I think that, when people, I know that it's frustrating to listen to sometimes the crazy stuff on whichever side you've decided to draw your information, but you should listen to the opposition, and not just the clips that are played on your comfortable radio station or your comfortable television. Watch, if you're us, to get frustrated, we watch CNN. I listen to progressive radio on the satellite. If you have Sirius and you're a conservative, flip that channel to 127 every now and then. I mean, it'll light your hair on fire just a little bit. But honestly, when you listen to the people call in and you listen to the information they're getting, it really makes you understand how people wind up so horribly.
Yeah, if that's all they're listening to, that's why they're twisted on this thing.
Besides the fact they tell them that we make all this up, so,
Our schools have not, for a good 20-plus years, they have not taught critical thinking. So not only has our history been dumbed down, but our entire academic programs have been dumbed down. Students are not taught to think critically through a problem. And again, our history has been removed from the textbooks. So they're not getting the real truth as to how this nation was founded, what it was conceived upon, what principles, our foundations, our values. They're not getting that.
No, in fact, critical thinking is really looked down on now in our especially in our universities. You get in trouble for that. You're a pariah if you step out of line. It's groupthink all the way.
But you know what? You can get through college without coming out and being. Because I had a guy tell me yesterday, I wouldn't send a kid to college. I have a lot of nieces and nephews, like over 10, and they, you know, over 10 of them, and they've been in and through college, some of them in 3 years, with degrees in normal subjects, and, you know, nothing weird. And you know what? They didn't come out crazy. So if you have a solid foundation at home and you keep track of your kids while they're in school and you keep educating them and keep having the dialogue with them, don't expect them to get their information from the media or their friends or their professors.
Yeah, and prepare
them. You can get through that.
You know, prepare them for when they go out and get a job. We have one niece that just went to work. What is she, 16 now or 17? And she got her first paycheck.
I forgot about that.
She was flabbergasted. You know, who's FICA? You know, and what are they doing with my money?
That was my stepdaughter. Who's FICA and how did they get all my money?
Yeah. Just have no idea how the world. And, you know, that is an eye-opener for them. That's when they start to understand that, hey.
Let's make everything free for everybody else. And they're like, wait a second.
I work for my money. Well, how come I don't get to keep it? Well, there you go.
Yeah, you know, we got to. Hey, I love the picture you guys sent with me on the tractor prior to the poll.
Yes.
Yeah, it's right there on the website.
I didn't realize we had that, but yeah.
Oh, it's right there.
Marvelous. Yeah.
We've shared it with everyone.
Just for the record, I don't remember, Bill, the tractor, the Kubota, being that shiny. I'm just saying. I don't remember
that. Kubota tractors are always shiny. You can't have a dull orange tractor. I mean, it's orange, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I just wanted to put that out there.
Better just blaze it out there.
I appreciate that, because you were pretty excited.
I got to tell you. That tractor is well built, and it ran like a champ, and smooth, and it took that pole right out.
Yeah.
And there goes your sponsor right there.
Oh no.
Yeah. Back to John Deere.
And then also I sent you the briefing to the legislature.
Oh, the medical issues. I see it.
Okay, good.
Okay, I'll post that just so people know the medical issues we talked about earlier that are happening thanks to the border. I don't know how else to put it, but I will.
Well, that's going to – you want to talk about a crisis. If that continues and is allowed to continue, that's going to hit everybody in a bad, bad way. We've really got to get that under control.
I was telling Aaron earlier today here. One reason Jim's not actually the main reason Jim's not with us, other than he didn't get his paycheck this week for the show, is that in Texas, and people can look this up. There is a epidemic going around of upper respiratory infections, and the doctors are not able to treat it. And again, that's their public statements. There is a severe cough connected to the congestion. And people are down. I mean, they're down in bed, and they may get up for an hour, then they're down again. And it's going on for 7 weeks, eight weeks. The doctors have put out a call publicly giving some ideas on how to stay away from folks and how to do some things preventatively. They don't know what's causing this, but it's a 7-8 week sickness, and people don't get better, and they're coughing. The coughing is unbelievable. Some Robitussin, now this would be a good commercial break. The Robitussin D with the D seems to help the coughing a wee bit, but it doesn't make it go away. But that's about it. There's no antibiotics. There's nothing that the docs are prescribing or you can get over the counter. It's just time, and no one knows where it's coming from. It's some new form of upper respiratory bacterial infection. We're going to see more like this. I'll say it. It's in my report. You're going to post that report. Feel free to do so. We've already seen an increase across the country, and that's because of illegals, and it can be traced back to illegals. This is not my opinion. This is the opinion of the CDCs, the American Medical Association, and others who are fighting this stuff front lines but keeping it all out of the media. But there's real, real serious concerns about the diseases that are coming this way. And that's not to be an alarmist, but somebody better start talking the truth about what's going on here, because there is a crisis at the border. It's not made up, and it's coming from 133 different countries. A lot of these people are not well, and a lot of them, most of them, do not want to come in here and become American citizens. So,
no,
there we go.
And I think people, I don't know, you know, if folks don't have any contact with any of that, it's easy to just believe what you're told. But when you look at
those,
when you look at those broadcasts, be asking questions in the background, you know, like Jim Costa. I mean, his was famous and will be famous for a long time. You know, look at this huge wall right here. Look how tranquil it is here. You know, there's no need for a wall.
Yeah, well, why is it tranquil?
It's like, okay, he's not even astute enough to realize that he's saying something that is nonsensical.
Well, it's going to get back to the same. It's the same thing until it affects you.
Yeah,
that's correct.
You're just not going to be too concerned
about
it.
That's like your 16-year-old niece, I think you said.
Yes.
Bill.
Who took all my money?
She's got all these ideas, bless her heart, all these thoughts how the world should be. And then she goes, gets her first paycheck, and it's like, what?
Huh?
What is all of this?
Yep. Starts to make sense. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, reality.
Yeah, and that's when people are going to start really paying attention is when it affects them, and especially
it's
if it affects their pocket.
You're right. You're correct. It's unfortunate it's that way, but that's human nature many times.
No, it is.
My concern is it will be too little too late by the time people wake up. That is a concern of mine.
Well, the good news is we at least have somebody in the big chair who's willing to take the hits.
That's correct.
Thanks for President Trump doing that. And
thanks, Lyle, for coming on.
Lyle, we appreciate you.
Really appreciate it. It's always fun.
You guys are fun. I hope the listeners can put up with us because, you know, we've been doing this so long over the years that I think we take liberties. I just have a good time talking with you all.
I know we do, too.
I think our listeners enjoy it, too.
That's why we need to talk about a subject, don't we? Okay.
you got to give us some focus. So on that note, we'll let Lowrider pipe us out. Yeah, your check's in the mail. Absolutely. All right, you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.